It's a proven methodology. You know what I mean? It's a formula to success. And it all adapts around planning, knowing your financials,
right?
Knowing your goals,
right?
And then focusing on those goals. And no matter what the business is, those are things that you can actually put bullet points on. But if I write
For sure.
it down and I focus on it and I figure out how I'm going to get to that goal through planning,
right,
we're unstoppable.
Are diving into an episode that is going to inspire you with tales of growth and scaling from one of our guests. Today's guest is going to be special because we hand select people who are actively building and growing their businesses, people who know what it feels like to be in your position. As a listener of this podcast, trying to figure out what your next growth steps are, and they're going to share with us those insights, that journey, and what they're doing right now to position themselves in a better place for growth and scaling. So check it out if you haven't done so already and subscribe to our channel. We are bringing some awesome business leaders into your circle, into your headphones, into your computer monitor today to show you what you can be doing to grow and scale your business. Share the love, subscribe to the channel, and at the end of this episode, to see what you should be doing next to grow and scale your business. Hey, welcome back to the show. Today, I have got a very special guest coming to us from DC. Sharif, tell us why you're such a special guest. Who are you and what do you do?
Hey, thank you so much, Todd. So I am Sharif Saeed, CEO and founder of Motivate Consulting. So we at Motivate Consulting actually work with entrepreneurs and business owners to try and help them, you know, take their love of business to the next level. You know, we use our experience and our network from what we've done in life and through our businesses and put that out there for people to have a safe haven in a community that they can come and talk to without, you know, having concerns or heartburn or, you know,
right,
getting tricked. Because there's a lot of programs and a lot of pay online, you know, for service fees.
Sure.
Very, very shady and skeptical. So we want to be a safe space where people can come and kind of talk to us without even having to put money up front.
Wow.
Just to get the answers that they want.
I love it.
You know, and then the why is, so we have, you know, we've kind of, me personally, I've grown and operated multiple businesses throughout my career. You know, when I started out in the IT world, there was a lot of people that poked fun and made fun of me putting my goals and so I used to have a whiteboard in my cubicle.
Yeah.
And when you would get off the elevator, I would be the very first whiteboard that you see when you get off the elevator. And I would actually write on there all the opportunities that I had and then what goal that was going to achieve for me. So
yeah,
for example, if I had a deal with one of the agencies, that's going to pay off X amount of my credit card debt or my school loans or whatever. And people would make fun of me all the time and say, you know, you're putting your business out there for everyone. You're doing this, you're doing that. And they would just
right.
laugh. And I'd have my goals in these picture frames. And, you know, I would think and think and think and think. For me, it was a driving factor and a motivator.
Right.
For other entrepreneurs and other, you know, business owners that get that, they may not have the confidence to keep it up there or anything. So we want them to have someone they can come talk to about those kinds of things.
I love it. I love that you did that. And thank you for sharing that, because I do feel like most people are pretty scared to share their vision and some of the mission and objectives that they've got. I absolutely love the fact that you would just post it in public and people would like watch it. I got to imagine that most of the time you weren't hitting the goals in the speed that you wanted to. How did you recover from that? And how did you kind of dial it back so you were hitting really achievable goals in those things you would post on your whiteboard?
Yeah. So the way I would do it, I would make them very audacious is the way I would do
yeah.
it, right? I would start off really big and then I'd scale it back to become more realistic, right? But you start off audacious, to be honest, because you
right.
know that's what you want your end goal to be.
Right.
And
right,
so,
right.
so when I did that, and then I actually sat down and took a realistic look at it and said, okay, is that really feasible with the goals
right.
and opportunities in the pipeline I have in place, right? So
let's
say, for example, if I had $5,000 in credit card debt, well, if I close a $300 deal, I'm not going to pay off my $5,000 credit card, right? That just doesn't make sense.
Not right.
And so I had to become very realistic with those kinds of things and make sure that they made sense, right?
Love it.
So have a ticker, have the end goal, you know what it is, and then work towards that goal in little bits and little chunks.
I love it. All right. So back to your business, because Motivate Consulting, I mean, this is something that is a huge mental part of every entrepreneur's journey is, how to stay motivated, how to get motivated, and how to like make decisions that will continue to build instead of tear you down when you're not achieving things. What have you learned from your experience that makes you feel like, hey, I'm qualified to help people with this? I mean, and who's the avatar? Like, are you after the launch guy? Are you after more of a growth stage guy? Like, who's your avatar, and what do you feel like has qualified you to do this?
Yeah, great question. So we are, I think the ideal candidate is a net new business owner or someone that's looking at even becoming an entrepreneur. But, you know, from also, you know, most recently, so built and started an IT company in 2019 was the second one. And so Esalytics LLC, we grew it. We became a federal government contractor, which is, nice. You know, when you think about becoming a federal government contractor, it's like, that sounds great, but it's not the easiest thing in the world. You got to get registered with SAM.gov. You got to get registered with the, you know, multiple different things that you have to get registered for with cities, states, all the regulations, making sure your accounting system is up to speed. So I've gone through all that, right? And then not only that, we built it. We lost a lot of business during COVID. We fought through it, grew back, made the Inc. 5000 2 times in a row, and then sold the company. Right.
Nice.
With profit for a good profit. So having that experience. And then after I did that, what I did was I actually went around my community and found some failing businesses or getting ready to fail businesses. And the money that I made off of the sale injected the money into those businesses to try to help them as well. So we had, there was a failing restaurant that was getting ready to file for bankruptcy. It was a good local watering hole for a lot of us around here.
Yeah.
So I took my funds, took my experience, took my business knowledge and acumen, and actually went and started supporting the restaurant and actually helped save it. So not only that, we're actually launching a remodel and a rebuild for an entire brand new one in the DC area as well.
Nice.
And we're starting to franchise it out. So we, you know, just through the experience and knowledge from a restaurant to an IT company, the business acumen that I've learned can help kind of any across any sector. Even in the fashion industry, I've had artists that, you know, they know how to do the design work. They know how to create the clothing, but they don't have the business acumen. So they're looking at selling shirts and selling hats, right? Well, when I went to the idea of let's do hats and socks. Well, that's you know, that's cheap. Well, guess what? That's the fastest churn. Those are the things that sell the fastest, right? So so they started making a bunch of money off of the socks, the hats, you know, and the smaller dollar items. And these are just things you don't think about until you actually sit down, look at the numbers and kind of put logic behind it, right?
For sure.
A lot of business owners are working a million miles per minute, but they don't take the time to sit down to stop working in the business to work on the business.
Stop there for a second, because I think you've tapped into several different really, really important things that I want my audience to really understand. And that is, you know, cross-pollination between industries. You've mentioned a couple times and in a few different ways, the principles that you've learned are applicable and relevant in restaurant, clothing, IT, probably countless others.
Right.
Why is that? Because a lot of people don't believe that. I believe it. But why is that, do you think, that they're so relevant in each vertical and that it doesn't take a recreation of the wheel in every vertical to make this work?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's a proven methodology. You know what I mean? It's a formula to success. And it all adapts around planning, knowing your financials,
right?
Knowing your goals,
right?
And then focusing on those goals, right? And no matter what the business is, those are things that you can actually put bullet points on, because my goal is going to be different than your goal. But if I write it down and I focus on it and I figure out how I'm going to get to that goal through planning,
right,
we're unstoppable. You know what I mean? But the problem then becomes the confidence piece, right? It's okay, well, I had a really bad day. Am I going to keep fighting forward to do it, right? And that's kind of where we come in, where, you know, someone's like, all right, well, I don't feel like fighting today. Let me just call Motivate Consulting real quick, right? We help motivate you to continue going. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. And you're doing that through calls? You're doing that through community? Like, what is your application? What do people need to know about how to engage with this? Because I do believe that a lot of people do struggle with that confidence. They do struggle with, hey, I made this decision. I went for it. It didn't work right. What do I do next? You know, like, how does that community, what have you built to help people through this?
Yeah. So we have, I have an amazing team around me of other business owners and entrepreneurs. And as far as how they get a hold of us, they go on the website, they can request a consultation. My phone number is on the website. They can call me directly.
Love it.
We can travel to them. We could do a Zoom call or a Teams call. We can do just a phone call, old school phone call. You know, we are open to however we can to help. You know, we have been, you know, blessed and lucky with the success that we've had in our lives and our business. We kind of want to push that forward.
Sure. Now, what you shared just a minute ago with going from 2019, a rough patch in 2020, and then kind of rebounding, growing, and exiting, that is a lot of people's, you know, dream come true, right?
Right.
And you pulled it off in less than 5 years. How did that actually happen? Because a lot of people do get stuck in thinking this is a 20-year strategy as opposed to a 4 or 5 year strategy, as opposed to even, I've seen people flip it in a less than a year just because they nailed the right niche and knew exactly how to hit it.
Right.
What was your kind of, in launching that business, you mentioned you've done stuff like that before, but what did that look like in your head? And as you mapped it and as you acclimated your team to the goal there?
Yeah. So that's what you said, the key word there, team, right? So we surrounded ourselves with a great team, right? So I had an amazing business partner who focused on the things that I didn't focus on, right? So he was the one updating QuickBooks. He was the one making sure the invoices got out, all those things, right?
Right.
So making sure you have the right team and surrounding yourself with the right people. You know, I read something the other day, and it's a known thing. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go do it as a team, right? And so that's very, very true, right? Did we sell fast? Yes, but it's because we went far fast together.
Yeah.
We all had the common goal, communication, right? We had open communication with the team. We involved the entire team, right? A lot of owners don't do a great job of involving the team and keeping them updated with things. I was very transparent. I was transparent in what's our sales numbers, what's our profit. And then not only that, we were actually really good with profit sharing. We made sure that all of our employees got paid their bonuses, got their profit share, got, you know, a raise every year. When we lost all of our contracts, we actually paid all of our employees on the bench. And my business partner and I didn't take a salary for 4 months, right? But we made sure that our team was taken care of. So that's kind of very, very important as well.
I love it. Again, you keep talking very casually about some very significant decisions that you made. And so I want to kind of draw those out of you a little bit more contextually. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like for you, it's a natural thing. For most people out there, this is a very challenging thing to understand. So things did not go perfect, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Contracts dropped out of nowhere. You know, I think a lot of us dealt with that with COVID. But how did that recovery process look, and how did you keep your team motivated when it looked like everything was falling apart around you?
Yeah. Great question. So that's where relationships are key, right?
Right.
And I've learned that very, very early on. So you don't burn bridges. You don't let the bridge you burn be the light to your path. You know, some people say you want to make sure you keep great relationships, because when you do good work and you're being ethical and responsible with what you're doing, the right things will happen. So our team knew and trusted us that we would get them back on the project.
Right.
And again, it had a lot to do with our experience from before. So the company I was with before, that Bias Corporation, I helped run the public sector practice and grew that to 68 million.
Right.
So along that way, I kept and held on to those relationships. I'd make personal connections. I'd make sure I went to networking events and marketing events, and just keeping, you know, stay relevant is the most important thing in your industry. Be where your industry is.
Right.
You know, if they constantly see you at the same seminars and the same shows and the same things, when you need help and you reach out to them, if I remember him, he was there.
Yeah.
He must be good. He must know something, right?
Right.
And
right,
so so that's kind of the thing. And then when they reach out to your network, you want to make sure they get positive feedback. So those are all things that I made sure, and my business partner made sure, that we, the work we provide when we are delivering is top notch, because we never know when we need the reference or the referral.
And that's a really good thing to keep on top of your mind. So as you have built Motivate Consulting, it obviously spawned from your experiences as a business leader and as someone who has kind of taken it full cycle from ideation to implementation to, you know, exit in a very simple format. Let's just say that's the journey. That's the life cycle journey of a business. But as you did that, and as you're teaching people to do that, you know, you're talking about very early stage people. You're talking about people that are just still ideating and launching. how much is too much for them to be thinking about up front? And what do you feel like is the right timing? What do you prioritize first? Do you have a process you kind of guide them through to say, look, first you gotta start thinking about walking, then you walk, and then you're running, and then you're, you know, relaying it. How does that cycle work for you guys? And what do you do to help them?
Yeah. So for me, my methodology is I'd rather get it done than get it perfect. Because if you sit there and you try and get it perfect before you actually launch the business, you'll never launch the business. Nope. Right. Analysis paralysis will kill your dream. Right. And so if you think about, you know, how much planning and how much of this you have to go into it, you have a really, really big 5-year plan that you put together. Right. That's really the big thing. You put your 5-year plan together, you put realistic goals together. And once those are there, that's it. Off to the races. Right. You don't sit there and wait and do things as things need to get done when you're going through the process, then you do it. Right. But once you get that first contract, or once you get that first deal, or once you get that first client or customer, it becomes easier and easier as you go.
Right.
The hardest thing is getting that first one. Right. And then once you get that first one, you'll get that little bit more confidence. You'll get a little bit more, you know, swagger into what you're doing. And then it'll get better and better and better and better. But trying to get it perfect on the first one, it's not going to happen.
Right. So you're more of a fire aim ready kind of a guy.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's not the norm. It's not the norm, but that's also how you get things done faster as well. You know what I mean?
And, you know, you say not the norm. I would say it's not the natural, right? Yeah. It's not the natural, but I would dare say that most people who do get it right, they do think that way. And I think that what you're saying is, like, you know, if your analysis paralysis, if you're stuck because you're just too afraid to try something, if someone's in your ear telling you that's a stupid idea and you never try it, and then someone goes and launches it and does well with it, those are the regrets we always feel when we just fail to execute, we fail to fire. And to your point, how do you, you know, let's talk early stage, but I don't know that I want to, I think most listeners on this podcast are well beyond kind of that initial launch phase.
Yeah.
So let's talk to the guys that are still like in that, they're floating between $500,000 and $3 million, kind of in that range. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you talk to them about what they need to be focusing on? Because they've already fired, they're kind of aiming, but they don't know if they're ready or not. Like, What do you take them through that process?
So from that perspective, right, when you're getting ready to launch from, honestly, from a million to 3 million to 10 million, the requirements are much different. And you may not believe that, but profitability actually drops between 3 to 10 million because it costs more to be 10 million than 3 million, right? That's not things that you plan for. In their head, sometimes if you haven't been there, then you say, oh, I'm going to make more money because I have more revenue. Well, that's not necessarily true because you need more resources. The larger you are, the more resources you need, the more overhead you need to kind of consistently keep that without it dropping. So, you know, if you do 10 million and then don't build that infrastructure to support it, it's going to drop. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of the conversation we would have with those guys is, what infrastructure do you have in place today? Okay, well, here's what's needed to help maintain and not only maintain, sustain that type of growth as well.
Right, right, right. And I hear this a lot from other founders who have been there and grown and scaled. It's always about the people, the processes, and the tools. And when you don't have processes to plug people into, the people generally don't help you as much as you think they will, right? And so it's building out that infrastructure of, how will I operate when I hire an awesome CMO? How will I operate when I hire an awesome this person or this person? If you don't have a structure for them to fall into, sometimes we as entrepreneurs tend to think that everyone's going to see what they need to do once they land, but they don't. How do you help people kind of operationalize roles that they're doing themselves and build positions around those things?
So identifying the weaknesses. My business partner was a great balance to me. You know, I was ready, fire, aim. And he was, well, wait, let's think about it. Let's look at it this way. So he was a great balance to me. And so I knew my weaknesses. I knew my strengths. I know where I was good. And so knowing that as a business owner and then surrounding yourself with a team to support that. And I would also take it a step further, that making sure that you have the right culture to have the team that you want and need. That's really a big thing as well.
How does that happen? You know, I see a lot of people talk about culture, but what ends up happening is they hire all these great people. They all bring a different culture to the table. How do you, as the owner founder, take the good from each and reject the stuff you really don't want to have in your business?
It's involvement. It's employee involvement.
I like that.
It's team involvement. It's, you know, if we have a happy hour and I invite some of the team and not all the team, that's going to cause a bad culture, right? It's going to be, you know, I'm not inclusive, right? Trying to be inclusive, I think, is more important than trying to say, I'm an executive, I only want to hang out with executives or something.
Sure.
I think that is a short-sighted viewpoint, right? But if as an executive, you include the team and then you actually take ideas from the team and build from the team and, you know, someone that's junior that just graduated comes in, they may have better ideas than someone that's been doing it 20, 25 years, right?
True.
So allowing a platform for them to share their voice helps build that culture.
I love it. So culture, important.
Absolutely.
Strategy, important. Role filling, important. What else do you see people failing on that kind of keeps them stuck in that sub 3 million range?
So inability to be flexible, right? So here's how I want to get to 3 million and I don't want to structure. So let's put it in the GovCon perspective. I just want to be a prime on all my contracts. I'm only going to go after prime work. I'm not going to go after sub work. I'm only going to be a prime. Well,
right.
If you keep that mentality up, eventually you'll get there, but it's going to take you forever. If you take some sub work and if you partner with people, and especially in a community that's really, really small, the GovCon community, it's very large, but it's really also small. Everyone is at the same events. You see all the same people. You know, I can go to 10 events and I guarantee you there's at least a handful of people that I'll see at every single one of those 10 events every time.
Right.
And so if I'm not willing to partner and team and leverage other people's skill sets to get to that goal and that, you know, to where I want to be, I'm going to burn bridges and it's going to take me much longer to do it, you know? So that's one thing. Be flexible in how you get to that goal, but still have that goal.
I love it. You know, we've really hit on some awesome, awesome themes here. And I really do appreciate it. As you look at your growth and trying to grow this consulting agency, it's a very different game from growing your IT government contract business, I would imagine. How are you, like, are you reaching out to people in your local community? Are you, like, what is your strategy to grow this? And how does it monetize?
Yeah, you know, to be completely honest, you know, if I were to go to someone senior, you know, and say, hey, let me help you grow your business, they're gonna look at me like, who are you? What have you done? You know, why would I trust you? So I am involved heavily in my Chamber of Commerce. I am heavily involved in what's called the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. So our local Chamber of Commerce takes a bunch of kids that are from high school, from freshman to senior year, that have business ideas. And we actually work with them to help them put their business plans together, put their strategy in their pitch decks. And actually at the end of the school year, they actually do a pitch for their business. And whoever ends up winning, the local CEOs fund their business. So
that's very cool.
That's something that I'm involved in. So getting myself out there through these podcasts, through you know, different networks that I have is kind of the way that I plan on getting out there and growing the business. But most importantly, it's just being a recognizable face, making sure that I'm seen more and more and more so people can trust to know that we know what we're doing. And it's my biggest thing is always going to be genuine, be honest. And if I can't help, I'll tell them I can't help. But someone in my network probably can.
Well, I think that's really important stuff. You know, as you do grow this and as you build the consulting, you know, I've found through interviewing a lot of different people and also from my own experience, the second, third, fourth time you build and grow a product or an idea, it generally goes a lot faster than those who are doing it for the first time.
That's true.
What would you say for you have been some key things that you've been able to kind of leapfrog versus what a lot of people hit in that early transition from a launch to a
Yeah, it's for me, the growth has been faster because of the trusted network that I've built.
From
when I went from Esalytics, it was brand new company. People don't know if I can even handle the business they're going to throw at us. So why would we throw the business at them?
Sure.
So now it's okay. Well, he's done it. And not only that, he's done it, built it and sold it. So, okay, we're going to trust him with the business. So going from 0 to 300,000 in contracts was actually very easy versus the first time we tried to do it. It wasn't that easy.
Right.
You know, and now that we're at 300, getting to that million is much more attainable, right? As far as revenue goes. So it's having the confidence, having the trusted relationships, and then also continuing the process that we've put in place before is going to be really
love easy. Love it. Wow, this is awesome. Very fantastic stuff. I love the insights that you've shared with our community. And I honestly feel like, you know, you've got a lot of really relevant topics that you probably cover within your community that I would love for people to check out. And we're going to put links to all of that in the show notes below. If you haven't done so already, make sure you check out what Sharif is up to, because it is important. I would dare to say there's a lot of people interested in government contracting. I'm sure that you've got some info on that and how you've been able to kind of build, execute, deploy, and exit in 5 years. That's a pretty phenomenal thing that you've done. And so I welcome anyone that's interested in that to reach out to Sharif and figure out how did that model look and maybe share some insights into that. But Sharif, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do this with our community. Of course. And we look forward to catching you all in the next episode. Sharif, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed that episode. As with all of our guests that we've enjoyed on this podcast, we hope you take a minute to reflect on how relevant was that to your growth journey? How relevant is that to your business? If you are not taking steps to grow and scale your business, chances are you're not growing or scaling. So how do you know if you're growth ready? Check it out at growthreadiness.com. If you haven't done so already, we have a free assessment at growthreadiness.com. That's right, growthreadiness.com, and measure up to see if you truly are growth ready. If that magical amount of funding or that magical client popped into your doorstep today, would you be ready? Could you grow and scale your business with what you've got ready right now? Chances are there are some places you're strong, there's some places you're weak. We let you explore that for free at growthreadiness.com. Click on the assessment at the top right, and we challenge everyone that listens to the podcast to go see how growth ready your business is from your perspective as an owner, founder, operations director, or even a sales manager. Is your company on a path to growth readiness? If it's not, reach out, let us know what we can do to help. We have tons of resources, tons of free stuff, and some really, really high quality paid stuff that's going to help your company reach that level of growth that you hoped it could be on. Whether you're aiming for exit, whether you're aiming for a fundraise, or whether you're just trying to sustain the growth you've already had, go to growthreadiness.com and check out what you're doing and if it's working for you. Thanks for being a part of the Growth and Scaling podcast. We hope all these interviews are helping you determine the best path for your growth and giving you real-world examples of what you could be doing in your business today.